Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to the Safety Third Podcast. I'm a host. Oh, God. Nope, can't start over. Today we have a very special episode.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Now, does this still scare you?
I don't like it.
What do you mean you don't like it? It's a lizard now.
It's the start of every podcast.
Oh, he's also very twitchy.
It's like someone poured gasoline on an anthill and lit it on fire.
It's just like
every time. I don't like it.
Oh, thanks for joining us, Alan.
Hi, yeah, hello.
Is she more scared of this thing?
She doesn't like this one either. You think it's worse now that it has legs.
This is a very special episode because we have a very special guest. One of the most famous people on YouTube, Dax Flame.
Thanks for having me.
Round of applause.
Yes.
And a movie star. And a philanthropist billionaire.
Yes.
No.
Oh.
I don't know how I got that in my head that you were a billionaire. Is that not?
No. I wish.
Me too. Yeah.
Nigel, Will, and Alan.
Yes.
And Chelsea.
Yeah, Chelsea's kind of off
to
that.
She's like, what do you call that role on a night show?
Oh, with the Andy Richter?
Yeah, like the sort of sidekick who just like randomly appears.
Who jumps in and out of frame like a monkey.
Like Guillermo.
Yeah. Sidekick, I guess.
Or
yeah.
Co-host.
Also, on a total side note, I feel bad for Audrey. I don't like this seat.
What's wrong
with no backing. It's just so
Oh, wow. Wow, so she's
posture,
suffering, huh?
Maybe good posture will help your horrible digestive system. Yeah. It'll help the nuggies go through.
I've got some Pepto. You want some Pepto?
I don't need Pepto.
Okay.
I've got tons in my purse.
Why are you guys just telling me?
I
haven't said anything.
Because your stomach always hurts, Nigel.
You want some PCP?
Yes, that would definitely help. I'm literally just sitting here complaining about the backing of the seat. Like, do you want Pepto?
What? 5 milligrams of sativa. Is that better?
This is a science podcast.
What's people's favorite part of this podcast? What do people say that they love?
I can't imagine.
Our
producer over there is just laughing. He's laughing.
They only say bad things.
Well, the quote I liked the best was,
"It's
this,
Nigel."
Yeah. They said it was bad, but if it got better, it would be worse.
What's your favorite comment you've ever seen, or what do you think what's a comment you hope to get on this video?
On this one in particular,
we mostly hope not to get comments. Certain ones.
What was the one you shared? There was one, someone left a comment on the podcast that we recorded with Tom Scott.
Oh, where it was like, it's like seeing your like high school teacher at a strip club or something like that. Seeing Tom Scott on this podcast is like seeing your teacher at a strip club.
Yeah, wow, you nailed it.
He's like another science guy, but he's like actually good and well-respected.
Does he always have red on the side of his thumbnail?
He always wears red shirt.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, he's really good.
Yeah.
I like him.
So he was here for some reason. And so,
cool.
Yeah, people compared it to seeing your teacher at a strip club, and I think that means that
we're the strip club. Yeah.
Oh, no, Tom Scott was the strip club.
Oh, we're the teachers and he's the strip club.
Did you like have him like do any like just wild stuff or just
we
like
would love to, but he would definitely have not agreed to anything wild.
I said twice, and he said if I said it a third time, he would get up and leave.
I think you did say it a third time.
No, I don't think I did, because then I didn't want him to leave.
He probably would have too.
Yeah, he would have actually gotten up and left.
Does that make you want to leave when he says
No, I don't really know what
he's like
a thing. No.
I don't know why I encourage this behavior.
Okay. I think from this point on, to the editor, every time anyone ever says it needs to be deleted, even if it makes the edit means logical.
Just cut that word out so it just skips.
I thought you were going to ask for a counter, so that like a rolling count the entire series every time
maybe
it ups one.
We can't cut it up, but it has to be some noise over it. What kind of noise can we put over it?
You make the noise, and we'll use that noise from now on.
Okay.
It wasn't long enough. I don't like that.
Let's test it out. You say it now.
No. I've already said it once. I've already said it once, and that was too many times. You're bullying the guests.
Yeah, that's how this works.
What's like, do you want people to take away from watching your podcast? Like, what's the experience you want them to have?
This is more thought very, than no, anyone has ever
a very
put into
meta
this podcast.
We're all
no, I like it because this is not. I have literally never thought about any of these things.
I feel like we're being interviewed about our podcast.
I like
on
it.
Our podcast.
I think
it's,
fine,
it's interesting.
Finally, someone calls us on our disorganized shit.
So just like a fun time.
He decrypted what we said. No, he decrypted it.
I feel like we're getting some kind of weird media therapy right now.
We need it. I genuinely have no idea what I'm doing usually ever.
Me neither. It's good to learn. So I'm trying to learn from y'all.
We just start. The words just come out of our mouths.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. That's how we just show up.
So what was your question? What are we trying to do with this podcast?
Yeah, what do you, if someone is sitting and watching, what do you want them to take away today?
I guess these maybe just questions. To feel like they're just chilling with us, just hanging out with some wacky dudes.
Wacky is such a nice way of putting it.
Wacky, zany.
Some zany characters.
I think that I used to think kind of Twitch. I didn't really understand Twitch, and I didn't really understand podcasts. And then I remembered that I used to drive a lot from home to school and to work, and you know it was like a pretty long drive. And I would listen to a radio station in the morning, and for a couple hours early, from like 6 to 9 or whatever, they would do like a little talk show, and they would talk about just like nothing. Like what they did that weekend, like, oh yeah, you know, we had kids' birthday parties. And it's like, I didn't give a shit about any of these people, but like, that's what I chose to listen to.
Right.
Because I was stuck in a car and I was like, oh, I think I get it. It's kind of like just a little bit of something for when you have like nothing else going on. Like, let's say you're working and it's kind of, you know, you're just doing work. And it's like in the background, you can have
fun, like just teach you to have fun.
Exactly. You can kind of like listen casually. Yeah, like Chelsea listens to podcasts and stuff when she's cleaning. And
I like listening to podcasts when I'm cleaning or when I'm cooking or if I'm like doing kind of like mindless work, because it just makes it feel like someone's there and the time goes by faster. Yeah. So I will listen.
Cool.
So I think that's like sort of the baseline would be just, you know, providing like a little bit of a distraction for like boring things, like, you know, driving or I don't know, maybe just existing. Because sometimes,
but it's like I feel like it's not. Yeah, and it's like a low level distraction. That's not like you said you did it when you drove.
Yeah.
When my office was like 40 minutes away, I just listened to podcasts all the time.
Mm. You should make the bleep button a car horn honking.
Or like police siren. Yeah.
I actually hate just in music when people do that. You hear a siren, you're like,
oh yeah.
This should not be allowed.
I always turn the music down because it's like, wait.
And Kevin in his truck has like a little sticker that reflects blue. It's like, it makes blue and red lights.
Yeah.
So in a song, it came on. I heard like a siren. I look up and I see the light. And we're getting pulled over.
I did get pulled over. We got pulled over.
Yeah, that was that when we were in Florida. Just everything was off. Like just everything.
Why'd you get pulled over?
Because his registration was expired.
Kevin?
Yeah. And I was driving.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get a ticket?
No. Oh, so she did not give me a ticket. I think. I actually have no idea. Is that my ticket? Is that his ticket? Like,
I think it would be for his car, yeah.
But I'm driving an unregistered vehicle.
Right.
Like, and is it my job to check to make, like, I think it is technically my job to make sure that the car is.
Do you remember?
Like,
I was in the back seat and there was like an open bottle of rum or something, and I like stashed it between my legs and put a backpack on top.
You're supposed to drink it all. That's what they do in the movies, right?
it was so scuffed. Really, like, we were getting pulled over. It's like, like, Will is driving Kevin's car, which is unregistered, and I've got the open bottle of alcohol in the back. And the whole time I was just, like, remembering, like, okay, they can't just search the car. They can't just, like, if she asks, just say no.
And don't mention the alcohol.
Would you feel betrayed if Alan had said that, like, if he said it was, like, your bottle of alcohol?
Alan's like, the bottle of alcohol's not mine.
I would have been upset at the time, but when I got out of prison 10 years from now, I would have thought it was funny. This is a pretty good me, man. And then I killed him.
Would you still do this podcast from jail
if
you
went to jail? Yeah, if they let me, yeah. That's probably the most exciting part of my life.
And William Osment zooming in from jail.
No, there's a podcast like that. I forget what it's called, but they did it from a prison.
Do you ever see prison TikTok?
No.
Where it's just people in prison, and some of them aren't supposed to have cell phones, I don't think.
I don't think you're supposed to.
Or have internet. Yeah, but they will film TikToks of just like their prison life.
Oh, just like smuggle it in.
Have you ever been to prison?
I guess so.
Mm-mm. No.
Have you ever, what's the closest thing you
like this gotten? Restaurant that was like an old, it used to be a prison in the 20s.
Have you
That's
ever,
the closest you've
Alcatraz
been to prison?
Island.
Have you ever gotten in trouble with the police?
I've been pulled over for going like 5 miles over the limit.
Where? Where?
On a road trip.
They pulled you over for five over?
What state were you in?
I don't remember.
Oh.
This was 12 years ago.
Oh. You haven't been pulled over since then?
No, just a ton of parking tickets. And
yeah, there's the,
that's
there
the
price
it is. Of nice. Living in LA with a car, though. So you have, you're like, I used to watch, like, I knew who you were, like, a long time ago.
We never really, introduced him properly.
He doesn't even need an intro.
Actually,
everybody should know.
True.
The first time I ever met you, I think I met you, actually. I don't know if you remember, but it was at the YouTube space, and y'all were making a cereal spoon thing. But this was, like, before your house burned down, I think.
Yeah. It was right before.
You had emailed me and said, like, hey, do you want to make a video? And you had said, like, we could either make, like, a squirrel trap, or I think, and then or a daxophone. I don't know what that is, but it's like it's an instrument.
With I think there's a weird instrument that I wanted to make that I never did.
Yeah, and then I wanted you to help me with this invention at one point, but I think
the gardening
It was right when your house situation happened.
Yeah.
And then I just met you really briefly there.
Yeah,
and else, Alan, you were there too.
Who was?
Because I remember the cereal spoon. I don't remember anything else about it. Oh, I do remember shooting Will in the face with it, and it looked very inappropriate. And I was glad that it made it into the video. That's crazy though.
2017.
Yeah.
So like you had some like really, 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 really popular early YouTube videos. Like you went to the first like YouTube. What
YouTube
did they...
Live?
Yes.
Yes. So I'm 30 now, and I started when I was 15. So I've been on YouTube for half my life, and then actually I made a comeback more in the pandemic, and that was because of the iDubbbz documentary.
Yeah.
Ian iDubbbz made this documentary about me that was very helpful for my whole career. And
I think
very
that
fun.
I think that was my idea.
Well, it happened because of
not
you,
to take
kind
credit,
of,
but
because I met. Well, actually, I had met Ian before, but then I saw him at your party that you invited me to. And then the next, I emailed him like, well, I liked meeting you. And then the next day, he was like, let's do a video thing. So indirectly.
Because I was pushing him because I was telling him that I think that you would be really interesting.
Thank you. Yeah,
you're
thanks. Because that's helped my life a lot.
Man, I'm thinking now, like, that was like years ago. That was like before.
2019?
Yeah, I think it may even have been earlier, like talking about it, because like I remember talking with him about ideas, like because he's always looking for like just interesting people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at the old house when Michael and I were still living together, we were talking like in Oxnard, we were talking about like the sort of channels and personalities that he had found.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I told him, I was like, I have been like sort of infatuated with like basically your channel for a long time, because it's like it's such like a like an enigma, and like back in the day like people were like losing their minds over your
stuff. Yeah, I was 16th mm-hmm. most subscribed at one point on YouTube.
Really?
But that like it took a lot less subscribers back then.
Yeah.
YouTube
was small.
Yeah, I probably had like 40,000 subscribers and was 16th most subscribed.
Whoa.
Wait, how old are you?
31.
Okay, so maybe 31. You were 16 when you were watching them. Because I was 15 when I was making them.
Yeah.
But then I stopped for a really long time. Uh-huh. So when did y'all all start making videos?
Probably around the same time. Like, actually making YouTube videos.
Yeah,
like some stuff.
Are we counting just like early
no.
attempts, or just like
anything that you posted to the platform?
That would have been the stop motion stuff. Then.
Yeah. I think that counts. I think if you were publishing it, that counts as attempting to make YouTube
technically,
videos.
Technically, for me, 2010 or 2011.
You were posting to YouTube.
And how old are you now?
30.
30?
Yeah, 30.
Almost 31.
Okay.
But I started my channel in like 2014.
Cool.
God, pretty soon we're always going to be dead.
Oh, yeah.
What?
He's not
it's
wrong.
It's just, yeah. It's, fact.
My life's halfway over.
What are some of your ailments you've had, like that you've that have developed as you've gotten older? Like, do you have anything that you're like, wow, now I feel?
I've gotten fewer ailments.
That's good.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
No, you all every time we talk.
A second, there's no way that you.
Yeah, but they're all the ailments of my 20s. Yeah, all those things that all those stories.
30s.
All those stories are like from my like when I was 23.
So you're getting healthier.
Mm. Yes.
My knee, one of my knees is kind of weird. Like if I go all, if I squat all the way down and come up, I have to be really careful. I have to sort of like use my left knee more because like it literally will, something will like dislocate.
I have a question though. Yeah. How do you sit when you edit?
I think this is from running though.
Oh, I usually do a goblin thing. I usually edit kind of like.
I do that too sometimes. I switch it around.
So what I do is I sit on
that's
my back
probably
a lot
good
like
for
this.
You.
Like this?
Yeah. And I do that a little bit. But
it
like,
feels, it seems like it'd be bad, but I guess I don't have any back.
I'll try to describe
right?
What happens.
It seems like it's like a good
if I go, I'm not gonna do it.
Can you isolate?
I think if I go all the way down.
Yeah, but we basically never do. This actually is like a recurring thing on the podcast is we all kind
of
talk at once.
So I don't need to put it down or anything.
No, you can
maybe,
just
I think
keep
maybe what happens is
it.
Once I do it.
Yeah,
once
I mean, it's like, it's kind of, it's probably annoying for the audience, but it's also fun. So it's like, well, he's going, they can still
hear us,
and Ian just kind of like lets us all talk at the same time.
Is there a word for it?
So it's like, it's like a recurring thing.
Like something will like displace and my leg will get stuck and I can't bring it back.
I mean, I really
like I have to like
bring in
close
this.
It
like,
again and
you're like
trying to learn.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's. I think you would have a very good. I think you
so
could host a very good podcast.
I just realized that we're doing the split
Ryan
headphone thing right now,
like,
probably.
Like late night.
Are we doing? Yeah, we have to do it. There's really no other way.
Do you have
horrible.
A favorite late night host?
No.
Huh.
Should we join theirs?
Yeah, let's join theirs. Yeah.
So now we we did the thing where we're like separate. Now
I didn't even realize that because normally we announce it, right?
So.
I'm always aware, and it bothers me so much.
Do you wish that the people who listen in their car would log on to YouTube after and comment?
No.
I hope they do.
Hmm. Why? To leave
just,
mean comments.
Just for comments.
I feel like if somebody went out of their way to log in and comment after listening it, to it in their
bad.
Car, it's because they want to say something
well,
bad. Yeah.
How do you know what they're thinking in their cars? Because obviously, it's obvious what the YouTube people feel,
yeah.
But with a car thing, you don't really have feedback.
Mm. I think that's a problem.
So there's a whole
like,
part of your audience. You don't know if they're getting a different feeling.
I think that's just the thing with YouTube comments. Like, you can get like 2 million views and like decent interaction could be like 20,000 comments.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's 1%. Mm-hmm. So it's like 99% of people watched it and said nothing.
Yeah.
So it's like you're getting, sorry, I'm just going to say, you're getting the people who liked it or didn't like it on the extreme. The people who were just like, that was pretty good. They just left. That was it.
All I want to know is that generally people are like enjoying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The content. Cause like that's sort of like my feedback, you know, and this is, it's hard to describe to people like what making videos is. Cause they sort of see a video and it's like, oh, this person did this thing and it was fun. But like, there's a lot of like actual sort of work behind the scenes to like put it together, to plan things. Like
so maybe just have people that are listening on in their car, leave an Instagram comment.
Yeah, or like we have our Discord, our Patreon server too.
Okay,
that's,
nice.
That is, I think, very, very like one of my favorite things.
Nice,
because you can talk to people who sort of are like interested enough in what we're doing to
be active.
Yeah, to be active and like financially supporting it, so we can
cool.
You know, pay for the stuff that we're doing. And they usually are like the most either positive or constructive with their feedback.
Nice.
Mm.
I'd rather take like feedback from somebody who's like, you know, paying $5 a month is probably going to be more well thought out than from someone who's just leaving a comment. And like,
right.
All I really, really want is to make sure that we're doing a good job making stuff that people want to watch.
Yeah.
I don't want to be doing a, I mean, why would I want to be doing a bad job? Like,
right.
You know, you just want to make sure that people are, you know, having a positive experience.
True. What's the most insane science thing that's ever happened, like that you've ever done on the podcast? And that people were most excited about, where they're just like, that is like insane.
I don't think we've ever done any
like
science.
Talking about drugs.
Oh, we've
oh,
never
yeah,
done
yeah,
any science.
People.
Right? Or like any of the FBI stuff?
Yeah.
Getting in trouble
FBI
with the government.
Stuff, yeah. Like, I think it's mostly, I think it's more about the sort of like us sort of like retelling or recollecting things that we've done before. Because there's like, we do very few experiments.
We should do live science.
Oh, wait, no. It was for the patrons only when we tried eating dog food.
Oh, that's true.
It was dog food versus
yeah.
real food.
Wow.
That's probably the best one.
Wow.
Dog food's
It was really bad.
Yeah,
dog food doesn't taste good.
Less good.
Yeah, that's just like fun to see people eating gross stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a blind taste test, and it turned out that it was really obvious every single time which one was dog food.
I ate it and I was just like, this is not good. So either this is the worst sandwich I've ever had or it's dog food.
Here's a science question. What would happen if you eat one of those poppets?
Probably nothing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what do you think, Nigel?
Well, if you bite it, it's going to pop. Probably.
Right, but if you swallow it whole and it like gets exposed to your hydrochloric acid,
it's like,
just dunzo?
It's
not.
There's only one way to find out.
He's like, you eat it and your stomach just like,
oh yeah.
Patreon extra.
I'm not doing that.
We're going to stuff Nigel full of poppets and we're going to punch him in the stomach. See what happens.
That'd be crazy. They just explode. You probably nothing would happen and you just internally bleed.
Because it's what? It's silver fulminate in there or is it something else?
I think it is silver fulminate. Just on rocks.
Right, just like a very small amount.
Yeah.
Because my understanding that it's like the molecule is essentially like in an unstable position.
Yeah.
It's like a mousetrap, basically.
It's just looking for like an excuse to
So if you like give it a tap, that's why it goes and it releases all that chemical energy.
Yeah.
Box. We did a science.
All right. Give me the box. I'm going to
eat it. Like a bowl of cereal, put some milk in it.
Oh, God.
I don't know about you guys, but I was like hugely into early YouTube, like in high school. Like
yeah.
I watched, you know, like Shay Carl, Lisa Nova, Kasim G.
Oh yeah.
Your videos.
Yeah, I met all of them back in the day.
I was gonna say, who do you like still keep in contact with from like,
I texted
school?
Lisa Nova recently.
Nice.
And Kasim G I've texted and I texted.
He's still kind of doing stuff, right, Kasim?
I think he's on G4, which I was on Attack of the Show once, and they were making fun of me. I think they probably wouldn't do that these days, but Kevin Pereira was like, I want to body slam that kid. I hate him. And then Olivia Munn was like, yeah, he sucks or something.
Oh, my God. Why?
Wait.
Why?
Is there a clip of this? Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's so bad.
Oh, my God.
I think it's
But why? Why do they hate you?
I don't know. I don't know.
They're trying to be funny, but all they know how to do
is really... I think there's a video called like my TV appearance not as happy as it sounds, and I put it at the very end of it.
Why are they so mean?
I mean, but anyways, Kasim G does that show now. He hosts it, and he's a way better host, in my opinion.
And he doesn't threaten to body slam you.
And then Kevin Pereira is probably fine too. But and then. I talked to Dave Days. Do y'all know Dave Days?
Yeah.
So I talked to him still. He's awesome. Dave Days, Tezonde, Kasim G, Lisa. Shay Carl, I haven't seen in forever.
He got in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. he said that I was the first person he ever subscribed to.
Really?
Really?
But I don't know if like people know those YouTubers as much anymore. Mm-hmm. But there's only a few people. Like Smosh is still just as big.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess I don't know if they're not just as big because they were number one. Now it's Mr. Beast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who you've worked with.
Yeah.
I've only made like 4 episodes of my podcast, but one of them was like a mock interview with him.
Nah, wait, was he actually?
No, it wasn't him. Oh. It was like one of those voice recorder things. And then
I really like you make him say anything you want.
Yeah, I haven't figured out. I've made literally 4 episodes in like 2 years and never figured it out.
Yeah we've made 30. Wait, which was this?
Oh, this is this 40? This is number 40.
Wow. We still have no idea what
we're
doing. But you don't know what order you'll put them out in.
Well, now it has to be number 40. Yeah, now it has to be number 40.
No, somebody do it the other way.
Anything we do make any sense?
Well, this is actually maybe 39.
It could be.
Do go back one. 38.
Or 41.
Yay, episode 39.
Yay.
The next one.
Yay, episode 41.
41. 45.
So what does your bracelet mean?
Oh, it has my name on it.
Nice.
So I remember my name.
Nice.
Yeah, the vid.
I was getting makeup done at VidCon, like in one of the rooms, and then they had like a make your own bracelet set up. So then all the boys started making bracelets.
Cool. What do you think your most sort of like memorable early YouTube experience was?
YouTube Live.
Really?
Yeah, that was cool. Got to go meet everyone. Yeah, that was awesome. Katy Perry and MC Hammer.
Oh, yeah. Did you meet Bo Burnham?
Yeah, he was there too.
Right? I met Bo Burnham, Katy Perry, MC Hammer, Fred, Tezonde, Soulja Boy. Well, I didn't meet Soulja Boy, but I saw him.
Good enough.
Nice.
Good enough. Yeah.
And then that was just very, very fun.
See, that's like...
Also meeting Lisa Nova for the first time, and then because that was the first time I came to LA.
Yeah.
That was when I was 15.
I... am so envious. Like, is that early YouTube sort of like community was like, I watched that and it's like, I wanted to be a part of that so bad.
And oh,
like,
yeah.
Everyone, it was like, I mean, I don't know how healthy it actually was, but it felt like pretty organic compared to some of the kind of weird, like YouTube nowadays feels.
Well, it's grown a lot.
It's like grown a lot.
Back then, they're like, we're inviting all of the YouTube creators, and it's like that's what it was.
I want to say that like YouTube now is less businessy, but also like that's where like Make Studios came out of.
Yeah,
and so that is also pretty businessy.
Well, it's like weirdly less and more. Like back then, it was all MCNs.
Yeah,
and like you know, Machinima and like all these big. They're gone, but now it's kind of like to have a YouTube channel, it's kind of just a privately run small business.
Right. It's much, yeah.
So it's become, like, more official, but then also, like, less official at the same time.
Yeah. And I kind of missed that, like, you know, like, there's not a whole lot of that. Like, I remember thinking to myself, like, what the YouTube space was, which are,
doesn't
like,
exist anymore now, really, like, right?
I think they still are there, but they just don't, they're not, like, the space.
Yeah, the coronavirus killed them.
No, I think Google killed them.
Oh, yeah?
With the help of Corona, the power of Corona and Google combined, they were empty long before coronavirus.
But like, you know, it was a studio space that they had a couple, or there were a few of them all over like big cities all over the world.
Yeah,
and you sort of would expect be like, oh, like YouTubers in that area would sort of go there and collaborate, but that was not the case at all. I remember the first time going, it was like nobody there. And
the YouTube
like,
space.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I've only been that one time when you were there.
Yeah,
and the first time I was on a Jubilee video, it was there.
Which is comical considering that, you know, it's like you're from early YouTube, and then the only time you've ever, or like the. It just like it doesn't make any sense. You're like, what the hell is this space if they don't do anything?
The one good thing is that's how we met in person, because you came to
specifically to meet you.
I was hosting workshops there, because if you hosted a workshop, they would cater it. And so you would get like free decent food.
This sounds like a very Allen scheme.
No. Let me explain. Let me explain the other half. I want to share the other half of the scheme. Allen, nobody would show up to these.
So you would just eat the food.
So he would.
I would bring it home. And it was, because it was if you pitched them a workshop. I think I literally called it like science YouTubers. They would cater it as if a bunch of people would show up, but I knew that there weren't any science YouTubers. And so then I would bring home like an entire platter of like sandwich wraps. Yeah,
Alan.
And so imagine my surprise when I show up.
That's why they
one
shut
day,
down the space,
expecting an empty room, and William Osmond is there.
He had traveled. I'm there with John.
Uh-huh.
We just flown back from Peter's.
Was there the toy company?
Yes, and then like an ad agency trying to like, I don't even know what.
I think they were like Bratz dolls. I think it was they were trying to sell Bratz dolls or something.
So it was just you guys at an ad company
like trying to figure out like what kind of videos.
And Alan's like, God, I just want to eat these sandwiches.
I know, every person that showed up, I was like subtracting in my head like that's one less sandwich.
Yeah, exactly.
One guy just kept eating sandwiches.
Oh yeah, he was huge.
He just kept eating. And Alan's just there like
no, my plan.
Yeah. You're eating on my sandwich.
Because that was after you had done this like transcontinental tour of like going to New York and then going to
Canada and Ohio.
And you had just come back and you specifically were there to steal my sandwiches.
Yes.
Because you heard that they cater it.
Yes.
So how did you meet them?
With VidCon in 2019.
Cool.
And then how did we meet?
You emailed me, and then I came to the YouTube
space. I just cold emailed you.
Yeah.
Is that really? I just cold emailed you?
Yes. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Chelsea knows.
Networking god. Yeah, I really want you to meet my our friend, because she. It's like I remember talking to her, and I don't even remember how it got started, but the fact that she, like, A, knew who you were. And had apparently met you at like something you had done, or maybe
at a bookstore.
Like I was like, I'm like, I this is unbelievable.
Because that's awesome.
I have never met anyone else that was like
equally excited.
Yeah.
In my hometown, people didn't really recognize me because YouTube wasn't as big back then.
Yeah.
So, but then a couple times after I graduated high school and was back there, then sometimes people would recognize me every once in a while.
It's probably better that way. I feel like...
I guess so. I don't know.
What about here in LA, like now? Do you get recognized?
Sometimes they'll get recognized, yeah. The other day I went undercover to UCLA.
And they recognized you undercover. Yeah.
What do you mean by undercover?
Or not really like I was pretending to be someone else. And
oh, like, but you didn't like wear like a
just like a backwards hat and like a shirt I wouldn't normally like. I was dressed as this person I had met because I wanted to like do this thing where I kind of interact with people pretending to be one person and then pretending to be another person because I want to make this video series and see if I haven't edited it yet, but so I don't know if it will ever be good or I'll ever release it, but I tried to just.
That's how I feel about all my videos.
Yeah. Like, cause I want it to be like a good impactful series, but I don't know if I'm really, if it makes the impact I want it to. So we'll see if it's good or not.
Do you make all your videos by yourself or do you have somebody who helps you?
Both. It depends which one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But sometimes I'll like that one, just one camera person that was a friend of mine named Nick helped me. And then sometimes I'll make a game show with like a crew.
Oh, the Smoothie Madness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Smoothie Madness is my game show. And then I'll make that with a crew. But then I'm like in charge of it. And I usually just lose money making it, which is why I haven't made it in a while.
Yeah.
And then I've been making one called Dion's Dungeon, which is an interview series, which is like appealing more to a younger demographic because he's like more in that age range. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what I was going to ask you. So I came to your shoot of a car.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Can you talk about that or no?
Yeah.
Oh, that's coming out soon. It's finally.
Like, I keep saying it's been almost done for a hot second, but like it is actually basically done.
There's that was this like one 9 months ago.
Actually basic. What are your layers of like... But Will, what are your layers? Because it goes from done, actually done. No, sorry, it goes from pretty much done.
Pretty much done.
To like basically
done.
To done. Actually, okay. So basically,
actually really basically
done.
Inevitably almost done.
Okay. Let me.
And I'll, then totally I'll, postable.
I'll explain a little bit of the onion, one of the onion layers of making a video. So when we did that video, there were two main cameras. So there was cameraman John and then another friend that I went to high school with named Garrick. They're both filming.
Mm-hmm.
The video is cut together. It's edited. One of the cameras had, I think, 2 decibel recording levels. And so I think that the left channel is like, you know, normal. And then the right channel is like negative 6 dB or something. So like if you have peaking, you can switch to the other channel.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, the thing is, now you have to go through this video.
Oh.
And you have to mix it. Uh-huh. And so you now have to go in and decide which channel is going to be what's coming through. And so it's like, that is probably literally a few hours of work.
Mm-hmm. But something like that, you could probably hire someone to do that sort of thing, right?
It's like even when you have something that you would say is close to done, there are still like these little rabbit holes and pitfalls of like going through and making
but
sure there's no like pops.
So is that like an example of one of many things? Because you just said that was just a few
hours.
That's one
of like the sort of the small things that nobody would ever think
about.
Oh,
yeah, for sure.
Like we had one issue where we were driving in the car and Michael had a lav on him. I had a wireless mic that was connected to the camera. But when you start like putting metal in between the mic and it just starts getting like tick, 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 tick. Mm-hmm. It starts like clicking in and out. And so we had to then find Michael's audio because the original, we had we have an editor that does like rough cuts to try to go through all the footage because it's like too much to go through otherwise. And then you have to like sync that like later. So you then have to go through there and figure out where it is and then line them up and pull that audio back in. And it's just like, it's not hard. Mm-hmm. It's just when
it's time consuming.
And when you start having like dozens and dozens and dozens of these little tiny things, it just turns into like, it's like, I don't want to do this.
And it's all invisible. When people see the videos, like it's almost people treat videos like they're just like apples they find on like a tree branch. And they're like, it's always like in the present tense, like people will watch old videos and assume it just happened.
Yeah.
And it's always fully formed without any like intent or decision. And like all this little technical stuff, you never see any of it.
The only thing I'd add is like for my videos, depending on how long they are, but like the last one, I think it usually takes like 2 or 3 days to do the audio work. Like once the video is done and I'm happy with it, it takes like, it's a couple days just to like, because every single, it probably doesn't occur to people, but like if I put like a cup down in that clip, there's fan noise, but I usually do it in silence. So you'd hear a mic go on and off. So you have to remove the background noise of every sound that's in the video.
Or you introduce more extra background noise.
Yeah, or you just don't sweeten your audio. I don't do anything.
Then you end up with like Alex's video where you're screaming in the microphone. Yeah.
The clipping.
And it's like, it's not funny. It was way too much.
Funny
it's like,
to me.
It's like,
I
don't understand that. We had no microphone on the camera? Were we using on camera? Like, it was his video. Like, I'm not, what am
he
I?
He could have declipped it though.
He didn't do anything. And it's just like Alan going,
and then all the comments are like, Alan is so loud.
Asian
it's like,
man.
It's like he's right next to the freaking onboard camera mic. It's not Alan. I mean, Alan is loud.
I can be.
I've had a game show episode where just everything went wrong. Our main camera, like that one, if it was the game show, went out. So we just had to use the other ones.
Yeah.
And then the audio was bad. So we had to just use one woman's mic,
and
her loft,
boost
and boost
the volume.
It. And so people were like, why is the cameraman breathing so heavy? Because you would just hear like...
You just hear it in the background.
The whole episode.
That actually sounds like it might be funny.
And then it's like filmed like from the other... the side cameras. And then...
Just imagine...
Yeah.
It's like a horror movie. You know, like when the guy's peering like in from outside. Yeah, the creeper. Well, it's like the creeper who's looking in from outside, like the window. They sometimes put the breath in to really, like, make it seem these weird guys.
So that was, like, really just disappointing to get that and be like, oh, God. Because it's so much work to arrange it, and then you have to work with that. But then I made a movie at the end of last year, and also that one, because we had such a time crunch, the.
You made a whole ass movie or like a short film?
A biopic about Chad Hurley, the creator of YouTube.
Oh, huh. Wait, is this on your channel?
Whoa. It's called Making YouTube. But the thing about it is the audio. We had a very little time because we had to get it out in time. So the audio is really bad. And basically, it's what y'all said of like you do the extra work so that people don't notice it.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to like now you'll watch the movie and it still has the same story, but you can't get as engrossed in the story because there's certain audio things that like you're like...
You're noticing them.
Yeah, but I think that then you just learn and you get better on the next one.
Yeah.
I actually personally like doing audio work.
Cool.
Nigel's a psychopath. I just don't know what else to say about that.
Yes.
Masochistic sociopath.
I like doing everything that I do to make videos. I just sometimes don't like how many of them I have to do.
How many videos?
How many tasks inside of each video? And like there was one bit in this upcoming video where we're at the dealership, this used car dealership, and there's like something like Katy Perry in the back. And it's like, all I can think about is like, someone's going to come in and like
copyright
this video and copyright strike it for some stupid radio music playing in the background. And it's impossible to remove it. Mm-hmm. And so we tried a couple of things and like, it's basically not there, but it just sounds a little weird because we're trying to use like the lavs to pick up the car dealership guys. And so it's like,
I could remove it for you.
It's.
But will you?
It's good enough. We're not changing it. It's good enough. And you can hear exactly what they're saying. It just kind of has that weird filtered noise, you know, where it's almost like in like a weird like anechoic chamber.
Yeah, because you did like subtraction.
You clip some
thing.
Of the voice out. That's why usually.
Yeah, it's. I think it's just weird like filter frequency.
Right.
Frequency.
Like it's not filtering. It's not a tin can. But it sounds like cheap headphones.
It sounds like something. Yeah, it sounds like something weird.
I think you're just missing frequencies.
Yeah, it sounds like a weird compression artifact.
Yeah, it just sounds like odd.
Mm. Yeah, but it's like, I don't care. Like, that's good enough. You can hear them. I don't care. But then it's like, guess what? If you record something and you can't hear the person, guess what you got to do?
Dub them in.
Subtitles.
Yeah,
and those subtitles. Are really annoying. And it's like,
subtitles are the one thing I don't like doing.
I actually prefer dubs over subs.
You can't dub people's voices.
You just dub everybody who's like just you doing all this voice acting for different people.
Like, I'm not gonna buy that car. That's my voice for the car dealer.
But you're talking to yourself in the video.
Like, hey, can I sell this car? No way. I'm not gonna sell you this. I'm not gonna buy this car. Why not? Why aren't you gonna buy it? Because I'm not gonna buy the garbage. Yeah, that's my car dealership voice.
You can do that in cartoons. You can't do that. In
no,
movies.
It's so bad.
You can't like match it. You ever heard bad dubs? You ever watch a movie and you like the person's talking and then they continue talking but it just sounds slightly different?
Yeah, the ADR when people
it was
like,
either ADR or they're using a clip from a slightly different scene where like maybe something was just moved, like a big reflector was moved, and that's enough to change the reverb in the room.
There are ways to match that. I do that.
Oh my god, Nigel.
I mean, do you want me to talk more about audio work?
How much do you work on the audio for your... Because I do very little compared to like what Nigel... I almost do nothing.
That's what you should do. You should try to do
that. Oh, no, but you're saying that the difference is like for the voiceover stuff that I do, there's no music in the background. Mm-hmm. So it's like you become very... It's very easy to pick up on like background noise. But for the other stuff, I'm in a room and it's... ironically very like it's the opposite. You don't want it to be too quiet. Mm-hmm. It sounds very weird if there's no like reverb in the room. Mm-hmm. Or it's like, but for a voiceover you don't want that,
right? I mean, you don't really do like the quiet chemistry voiceovers, right?
I do voiceovers. It depends what kind of video, because I'll make short films, I'll make mini documentaries.
It depends what you're going for.
But I always like, someone taught me hard limiter to make sure it doesn't peak too high. Do you know the hard limiter effect?
I don't think so.
You can make sure that it never goes above like negative one decibel. Like, that's a good effect to learn on Premiere Pro if anyone is an editor. And then like de-hummer or denoise, that can be helpful. Those are the only things I know.
For voiceover, at least, the best thing you can do is just, honestly, like just learn to do better voiceover. I'm not saying you're doing bad. I'm saying that like what I learned is like, you learn to not speak too loudly. You learn not to speak too quietly. And it like, you just pay attention to a lot of what you're saying. And then that limits how much audio work you need to do.
Can we talk about the early YouTube videos? Do you want to talk about that?
Sure.
That
okay? Yeah. Although I did have one question I didn't want to forget that I was thinking is, if you could have any like power as a YouTuber, like any kind of skill that you don't feel like, or just boost your skill in that area, which would it be? That was just something I was wondering, since it was like tech, YouTube tech talk.
I think I wish I gave less of a shit.
I wish I was a better cinematographer, just like camera work in general.
That's not very good. Mr. Shaky Hands.
Yeah, I mean that's part of it too. Is just my nerves are not very good, so like my hands always have like a little the essential tremor.
It's got its benefits.
I would have said editing. Like if you had asked me a couple months ago, but I recently learned that there are hotkeys. There's like, did you know that in Premiere Pro, you can do certain actions by just pressing keyboard buttons instead of using a mouse?
You know how many people I've given
around?
My hotkeys now?
Oh, I think I need to re-get yours, actually.
It's like, I think 3 or 4 people now
they're,
use my
They're good,
hotkeys.
But I did a thing where I got a new laptop, and no, I did sync workspace, and it actually got rid of all the old ones instead of bring on the old
Adobe.
Ones.
Adobe.
Yeah.
Their cloud features have actually made the software
it's
worse.
Horrible.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm so glad that they've made it so internet-based.
Yeah, so it turns out that, I don't know if you use keyboard shortcuts, but
not really.
Maybe I would look them up.
Do you have a lot of footage when you make videos?
Yeah.
So I have a couple of tricks where the default in Premiere, Q and W will cut forward and cut backwards. So it essentially it'll cut to the end of the clip or the beginning of the clip. Mm. So if you put your playhead in the middle of the clip, and I think, I don't even know which one it is because I do it. And let's say you hit W, it will delete the front of the clip. Mm-hmm. And so I then added another one that is to actually cut, which I did is like shift plus space, like shift space. And so you can like drag your playhead, shift space, Q, and then you just like boop, clip gone.
Cool.
And so you can just really quickly like you're scrolling with one hand, and then the other hand you're just like quickly like cutting forward, backward, like nipping clip. It's like you can really, really, really quickly like just digest footage.
Cool.
Alex started doing it too, and he was editing his voiceover.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I don't know. It just meant when I finally started doing that. Because like when I first started making videos, it was like literally on Windows Movie Maker. Those are the first couple of videos on Windows Movie Maker. Then I like got Premiere Pro, and then I spent like the next 5 years probably just dragging things around with my mouse like a caveman. And now it honestly, it makes me feel like kind of dumb for not learning things earlier. So I highly recommend learn the shortcuts.
I'll have to learn those.
Shortcuts.
Yeah, I'll have to re-listen to this part. Write it down.
I'll help you too if you have, we just one day we'll
sure get
laptop.
A tutorial.
Yeah.
Editing jam. Yeah,
it is good. Even Alex was like, I genuinely don't understand why some of these shortcuts aren't like don't exist already.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's weird is in Premiere, there isn't like to cut.
There's no cut shortcut.
Which means like Vegas, you have to do it yourself. Just S. It's just built in.
There should be.
Most of the hotkeys are all already built in.
And when you go to change the keyboard shortcuts, I love shitting on Adobe. I used to like really praise it, but the past 4 years have been like this something.
Especially with the cloud like, stuff. They're high on drugs. In a bad way.
If you want to add a cut to a keyboard shortcut, it's called edit. So when you're connecting it to the key, you're not doing cut. Cut changes it to the cut tool. It literally says like insert edit.
Oh.
So that's like that's the function you're looking for to attach to the key.
Yeah.
I think it's insert edit. And it's like insert edit? Is that what you call cutting a clip?
Like I think you can do it, but it like is a weird workaround where you need like a mouse that's got like a special click function. Being able to just bring the playhead to where your cursor is. That's what I want. A shortcut that you just hit something and just goes, playhead moves to wherever it is.
Yeah.
What do you mean to where you're,
other than clicking?
You have your cursor and you have your playhead.
Can you just click it?
Yeah, but I don't want to do that. I'm done with clicking. I don't click anymore.
But what's the difference between clicking on the mouse and clicking on the keyboard?
Well, to move the playhead, you actually need to click like a particular part of the timeline. Yeah. And I would like to just be able to like, I don't want to click anything anymore, Nigel.
I just want to use my mind.
Yeah.
Premiere's, actually, we should stop talking shit about editing software because no one cares. Anyways, Adobe can kiss my ass. I pay them a lot of money for their garbage software that somehow gets worse every year. 20-year-old. It's what? 20-year-old is like legacy code.
Vegas is still bad, but it gets less bad every year.
Apparently, DaVinci Resolve is pretty good, and it's free.
Yeah, it's just a learning curve.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Anyway, we should leave. Yeah. We should leave this conversation.
Somehow, a conversation worse than taxes. Yeah. How did you make your like early YouTube video? So like that's iMovie.
Yeah.
Nice. And you record on a webcam.
Yeah.
And like, because we've talked a little bit about this before, because I was like so curious about like your like the kind of the lore of the Dax Flame channel
for sure.
About like, you know, how much of it was, you know, like real, how much of it was sort of just inspired by real life events? Was it kind of like more like how would you describe it?
I would just say it's real, but I was also an exaggerator as a teenager. So now I'm just not an exaggerator.
More literal.
Yeah. And so that's kind of, but like, I think I started to notice just the mystery surrounding me too.
Yeah.
And just notice that's like, that was at a certain point, like it was like off-putting to read about, but then it was like also beneficial. And so yeah, that was kind of like my early hype.
So you kind of like were doing something that was like maybe like sort of in like real-ish but exaggerated, and then the mystery of it, I think, like I'll try to describe my, I feel like I should describe what Dax's videos were. So, or should I have, what's funny? How would you describe your old videos?
I think just like talking about like high school troubles and things I was excited about and connecting with fans and like a newfound fame, because I was 15 and like YouTube wasn't really established as like if you're YouTube famous now, you're just regular famous. But back then, like there was no framework to reference point. So I think it was like that. And then you notice like, okay, so you're yelling in one video and people like seeing you angry, which, so it like just starts off from a place of like, I just want to share my life. And then it kind of eventually you're like, you lean into things because you notice that people like it. And then I think even as an adult, you do that still, like you post a TikTok about being in movies and people like that. And you're like, okay, well, people like to hear about the movies I was in. Or you post a TikTok about a meme you were in, and then you talk about that more.
Right. You sort of like learn what people
But I think I realize as an adult, it's not that good to let that drive you.
Right.
And yeah. So I think it's something I feel like insecure about still, but it's hard to resist.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, especially on TikTok, you can see people get like really pigeonholed into doing like exactly like one very specific kind of thing because nothing else like works.
Well, like someone made a thing about an old video of mine the other day. And so I made a response to it. I was like, people will probably watch this a lot because it's about like this one meme that I was in. And But then the thing that people kept commenting on the video is like, I hope he's not dead, or like he said he's gonna die in 2 months because I made this short film called 2 Months to Live.
Okay.
But it was like it's not about real life. It's like a short film about someone who has a terminal illness.
Right.
And so I think just some people on TikTok who randomly saw me looked at my channel and saw that, and they're like, go on the TikTok video, and they're like, guys, it's so sad. He's 30 now and he's gonna die soon. And so I made a video saying like, guys, please stop spreading that rumor. I'm not gonna die.
Do you ever feel like people like misinterpret a lot of your stuff?
Yeah, for sure. But there's also a lot. I think that just comes with being popular. Like, I'm not that popular, but I'm popular enough to where I have people watching me who I don't
know. There's a lot of attention, yeah.
And like people who might not have seen me before. Mm. So maybe I'll average like 30,000 views these days. And so it's like maybe 15,000 of those have seen me before, or maybe probably more than that. Like, but the people who haven't seen me before are just like confused. Because yeah, that was that short film was this the punctuation mark. Like, I did this thing this past year of like doing some sort of like talent management stuff and like working with some up and coming actors, and I ultimately decided to not continue with it, but I was like kind of helping people get their career started or trying to. And and then I was like, I don't want to continue this, but I had planned to make short films with them,
right?
And so I made this short film as a like kind of finale for that. Anyways, all that to say, that was called 2 Months to Live. I posted it, and then people who just like skimmed the titles of my videos are like, he's gonna die. And so I made a TikTok about that, knowing it would probably be popular because it was around the meme.
You have some like, there's like some banger videos from back in the day. Like, I think one of my favorite is like a two-parter, the Superman. So you like,
no, that's the meme I'm talking about.
Okay.
That's what most people know me from now.
So when I watched your videos like back in the day, it just, everything was very like emotions and stuff were like hyper exaggerated, and so it was like a mild inconvenience would potentially result in like a total like Dax Flame meltdown.
I guess, yeah, I think that, you know, just I think everyone when they're in high school is just a little bit more on edge, yeah. And like you have more hormones and stuff, and so naturally you're gonna be a little more like.
So it's like, so when he says that like you, like the videos were insane, how much did you feel like you were really like putting into the performance versus you were just a teenager who was kind of like.
I think it just felt like a regular. Well, not regular, but like
you didn't feel regular.
Who
does? Yeah, I don't know.
I definitely felt more like an outsider.
Okay.
And then it was like having a audience to talk to felt very comforting.
Interesting, yeah.
But then it's like that mixture of this will feel good to talk about, but also like, yeah, like amp it up a bit.
Because you are putting on like a performance for the YouTube stuff, right? Like a little bit.
Yeah, but not like making things up, but like heightening myself.
Mm-hmm.
And also just like feeling a relief that you're able to like express those emotions more hugely. Mm-hmm. But I find them embarrassing to reflect on. The whole aspect of like a before and after is something that I think everyone can kind of relate to, like attempting something and failing at it. But it's just when you put your life out there, you have to, I guess, just like, yeah, it's just like you put yourself at risk of.
Yeah, I think like sort of the raw authenticity, I think, is very appealing. It's something that people, I think, want to like see. And it's also rare because I think a lot of people will make videos or make content that is like, you know, very artificial, and you can just smell it.
So I think my infatuation, and I'm guessing it's most people's infatuation with the Dax Flame stuff, is it's like that the raw reality and the exaggeration is very hard. It's like it feels almost so perfectly blended. It's like impossible to figure out like what is actually going on.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, because there's this the Superman video.
Do you mind us watching it?
I just find it hard to look at, but but I leave them up because like
I think these are some of the best videos on the internet.
Have you seen my like reaction to it?
You did you like recently?
Yeah.
No.
I watched it really briefly because they just make me uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, I mean, watching Miles stuff, I definitely get it. It makes me uncomfortable too.
The general idea though is that you're wearing like a Superman costume and you've got these like.
We can always put it like the footage over this.
Just a freeze frame.
A
freeze frame.
Show the meme.
Yeah, the meme. And then the follow up video
is so endearing.
Yeah, it's very endearing. It's like, it's this kid who is like wearing a costume, wants to go to school, is like super excited to wear it, and then you come home from school, you post a second video, like a follow-up video, about how it was just, the day was horrible.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So like wearing the costume to school is like a disaster.
Yeah.
And it's like very emotional. Did you, when you posted that video, did you actually post like one in the morning and one in the evening?
Yeah, yeah. Did just you, after school.
Did you actually wear the costume to school?
Yeah, yeah. Oh.
And it was actually bad.
It was a bad day.
Wow. Dude, that's amazing. Just completely true.
But I think the takeaway of my reaction video is basically just that something like that looks very negative, but it's like why half my fans know about me now.
Right.
And the
right.
only time I ever make money on YouTube is when those videos happen to go into the algorithm.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, helpful.
There's one more too where you, yeah, you push your, you say you push your grandma into a pool. I'm trying to find it right now. I don't remember what it was titled, but like just the titles of your of these old videos are like amazing.
So how much thought went in when you made these videos? Like you wore like the Superman outfit to school. Like did you think this would be like interesting for a video, or did you just want to do it?
No, not back then. That
you like, kind of just wanted to do it.
Yeah, I think nowadays I have more of a content brain.
Okay,
but like I think at that age
you were just doing stuff. No, I'm saying, like, I just want to ask, like, so you just wanted to wear it, you went to school, it was a bad time, and then you just talked about your experience?
Yeah, I talked about a bit of everything back then. But I think at that point I was popular already, but maybe only for, like that was my 30th video, so I think I'd only been popular for a couple weeks.
But you were, so it's like you were kind of just, like, living life and then documenting it.
Yeah.
The title of this video is just, I pushed my grandmother into the pool.
That's a good title.
It's so good. So did you actually push your grandma into the pool, or was
oh my God.
I'm thinking like, you know.
I'm just thinking about being that, like every time you get to talk, I'm just imagining myself at that age and like this, oh my gosh.
But it's just
horrible. And you at that age, you were horrible too. If you would have posted yourself right there, what you did at 15, do you know what you would do to me in high school?
I could have been Dax Flame too.
Wait, y'all knew each other in high school?
Yeah.
What was something crazy that happened?
Well, we should give her the mic, no?
He tortured me. He would throw things in my shirt and stuff.
Whoa. Wow.
That just means that he liked you.
Why did you throw stuff at her shirt? Well, that's perverted.
I don't know, I feel like it
was a different time. We were all very problematic.
And your brain wasn't fully developed.
I definitely
complete ignorance. There was only one part of my brain worked.
I mean, I think kids are smarter nowadays. I definitely, when I was 15.
Are you admitting to crimes, Alan?
Yeah, no, I was 15, because I'm trying to take this off of Will.
So you're like, if I admit a crime, then his crime is less.
Yeah, exactly. So when I was 15, one of my friends, she was a girl, and she basically found out that like I didn't know how to take off someone's bra one-handed, and she was like,
that's an embarrassing thing.
She was like, Alan, every boy your age needs to know how to
do this. How old were you?
I was 15, she was 15.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
And so then she had me practice on her.
This feels like she was picking up on you.
I mean, maybe looking back on it, it's a little weird.
That's a very weird situation.
So she would wear her bra over her shirt and have me practice taking it off with one hand.
Okay.
And so once I learned that skill, I was like, oh, cool. It felt like having a superpower. So I went to school the next day, and like my friends who are girls, I would just like go up behind them and like undo the bras. Which I get is wrong. I know it's wrong now. That is not appropriate.
See,
it's wrong.
That feels like a Dax Flame video from 2000.
No, I didn't do that.
Well, I know you would not. But that's on par though. Of like, if you sat down in front of a camera, and I got in trouble today for taking girls' bras off.
That's not similar to me. Take them
not
off,
you, but I.
No, he's
I
saying like the idea of like
it's very similar energy of like.
And yeah, not, yeah, like, yeah. Like that's why I was commenting before when like. My brain now is so much like, what makes good content? This, like, you're so much thinking about the product, whereas, like, that's why I thought it was really interesting that you're like, I just wanted to wear a costume to school.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and I'm just talking about what happened. So it's like, Alan wasn't like, he just His thought process on it was just straight up, I can take off bras with one hand. I'm gonna do it.
It felt like magic, and I only did it to the people who like I knew, and like they
did it to the people that didn't have boobs anyways.
It's just like the thought process doesn't go like any further. I think that's what like Will is.
That's one of the things that's hard about if you're a content creator who talks about your life is like say that you did that. And then you get popular from it. Oh. You gotta keep going around. And then you become Logan Paul in the forest and all that.
Yes. Wait, sure, honestly, though, that's one of his best videos.
Then you become Logan Paul in the forest.
Oh, no.
That's like got some real juice.
Yeah.
Are y'all friends with him?
No,
I met him once.
I've never met him.
And I pretended like I worked at Arby's.
Yeah.
Because you wore an Arby's hat.
I was wearing an Arby's hat and Arby's shirt. It was DeBrill and I wearing Arby's hat.
I was supposed to be there, actually, but I went home early.
And the shirts.
Yeah, so they thought we worked at Arby's, and we just sort of ran with it.
Well, I mean... The answer is you're not. I mean, you might be going to Japan soon, so you could always reenact that video.
That's not a joke you can make, Alan.
I'm not joking.
That's how he thinks he gets back. He recovers from that comment.
I feel like there's definitely a meme though. Like,
made it perfectly through that one.
I feel like there is definitely like a short meme of like, meanwhile you're Logan Paul in Japan.
No, what if you never refer to it as the Suicide Forest? You refer to it as the Career Suicide Forest.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's going stronger than ever.
That's true. He's a boxer now.
You know, he thought you couldn't get canceled. Logan Paul couldn't get canceled.
I do have a tweet. I tweeted once that I will never be canceled. And then I immediately replied, please don't screenshot this. Yeah.
There's something about, though, like putting sort of your either everyday or kind of like really raw experiences on YouTube, because I think a lot of times either people might not understand like all the context, or maybe you are kind of just like unaware of what you did. Like you didn't quite see what you're doing maybe in a way that you actually should have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like that kind of stuff, like what they did with that video, was they were making so many videos that they didn't even bat an eye, because it's just like, it's almost like you're numb to it. Like there's so much footage coming in constantly that it's just like, gotta get it out. And so it's like, you don't really have time to think about it. And I could definitely see with like, you know, a lot of your stuff really early on where it's like, you're basically like sharing raw, like pretty like raw experiences, you know, like whether, you know, completely real or exaggerated. And so people see it and then they're going to sort of interpret it based on the context that you've given them and their own personal life experiences. And then maybe get mad at you for something. Did you ever get in any trouble for any of the stuff you did? Like,
no, I didn't do anything crazy, but like people got mad at me when I would like try and start a partnership program where I was trying to monetize my fans, but it was more of just an oblivious, stupid 15-year-old thing where I was like, hey guys, I'll teach you how to be a YouTuber. Right, and I didn't really know what to talk about. So they're like, we hate this. And then the next video, they're okay with it.
Right.
But I think even to this day, like earlier this year, I said, you know, I was going to do talent management. I launched that with this person who is like, hadn't done acting before, but like, and I was like, I'm going to help this person start a career, get things going. Literally the day after I talked to him so much before I started it. Like, hey, are you interested in doing this? It's going to be like something we see if we can make it work or not. Literally the day after I launched that video, he was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And so I had to make a video saying like that video I made yesterday is like, so it felt like a repeating pattern of that. Right. And like, that was just an embarrassing aspect, especially now that I'm 30, I'm like, particularly this year, I've been wanting to just feel more mature and feel like not publicly, like still try, take big swings and miss. But I was like, if I just want to take big swings, I'm sure about just at least for, it's okay to risk things and mess up, but
even still
like it can be, you can have some embarrassing mishaps, but that just goes with the territory of putting yourself out there, so you got to do it.
Do you have any like pie in the sky like dream projects, if like money resources weren't like an issue?
Make my game show on TV.
Oh, like a real TV? You want to be on TV?
Or just be able to fund my game show like regularly, because I love making it. But it's just expensive.
What does it cost for each episode?
Like $800.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But I just don't make a lot of money on my videos. Like, I'll maybe make like $100 or $200, sometimes $50 to $200 per video. And then like the Superman videos, every once in a while, I'll have a month where those get pushed into the algorithm. Mm-hmm. Right. So if anyone at YouTube algorithm headquarters is listening, please put those in there.
We all have to say Todd.
Todd.
But yeah, I would love to do that all the time, like regularly. Mm-hmm. And I have some pretty big plans that I have to see if they're going to work or not. But I have a few big plans.
How often would you post your game show, like ideally?
Weekly.
Oh, weekly. Okay.
Yeah. Weekly, I would like to post my game show. I was for a bit because I had a bunch of money saved after the iDubbbz documentary came out because people bought a lot of copies of my book. And then...
Nice.
Sold some t-shirts that I designed, and then I got a percentage of that. So then I saved up a bunch, and I was like, yeah, I'm fine to lose money for a bit on this. And I still like, I have enough money to like keep going. I have to figure out how to boost. Maybe I'll make a Patreon before the end of the year. Yeah. And then I can make short films regularly because I love making short films and directing.
We talked a little bit in the past about you kind of like having a really strong trajectory. Like you did YouTube, that kind of blew up, and then you were able to like do a little bit of acting after
I was in a few movies, but two of them were really big.
And then
which movies?
Project X and 21 Jump Street were the big ones, and then 22 Jump Street and The Watch and Another Evil and Making YouTube and Drowning in Potential.
Because you just sort of stopped, and then you like traveled the world. You like spent all your money traveling the world, right?
Well, I was auditioning still. I was self-taping, and like I got really close to being the lead role in We Are the Millers. In really? Which case, I would have kissed Jennifer Aniston and Emma Roberts.
Oh, man.
But then I got second place instead.
Oh, so no.
You didn't need to kiss anyone.
I didn't kiss anyone. And then...
I love that. Oh, man. That would have been like the ultimate goal. I would have totally
the money
been,
doesn't matter. No. The exposure doesn't matter.
I auditioned with Jason Sudeikis even. Like, I was literally like the second place person. And then I auditioned to be the lead in Ryan Gosling's directorial debut. And I got 3 callbacks, like... with him, one of them, Christina Hendricks was there, and she was going to play my mom. Oh. So she was yelling at me a lot. And then I got second place on that too. So
no.
I didn't get
you gotta start Tanya Hardying these other actors. You gotta
kill
start,
them or break their knees.
Well, I mean, yeah, kill them. You should start killing them.
Yeah, because like that's so close.
Yeah, I know. Well, this is also like 9 years ago. I don't get any auditions now, but that's okay because now I'm making my own movies and focusing on like my own things. And yeah, there's like some exciting potential things soon. I'm currently editing that idea I shot the other day, which could be a cool idea and hopefully impactful and help the world.
Did you ever watch any Nathan For You?
No, but I've met him before.
Met Nathan?
Wait, how did you meet him?
Okay,
Nathan
wait.
Fielder, right? That's
so.
His name?
Okay, I have seen one episode when I went to the premiere. It was for that and this other show. And just at the time, my manager who was managing me just said, "Do you want to come to this premiere?" And then I met him there.
What was he like?
Friendly and busy because it was a premiere.
Because Nathan For You has very similar vibes to a lot of your content.
Yeah, I've seen YouTube clips for sure where he's just like really awkward,
but it's like awkward in a way where he's like putting himself in a situation and then just like dealing with it, and that's, I feel like a lot of your content is kind of just like, all right, and you just do it, and it's sort of a situation that most people would probably be also awkward in, but you just share it, and it like is very like entertaining.
Well, I like to put myself out of my comfort zone because I think it's good, and I just like try and learn new things and all that, and I'm just naturally a little bit more nervous with some situations, but I think that's the helpful thing about, like I was talking about the downsides of having an audience, is it makes you think about like the content version of things. But the good thing too is that then you can put yourself out there more, because if you do it, if you like fail, that can be helpful for other people to see, and so then you still win on one level. If you're like, I'm gonna make myself go to this party. Like, I hosted this party, had people come over. I was like, I'm just going to try and talk to strangers. Mm-hmm. And that's awkward for me. But I was like, I'll try it, because then I can help people too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And did you film all that?
Yeah. It's just called How to Enjoy a Party.
Okay. That's so genius. That's such a funny idea.
Because, yeah, I'm not someone who's, like, a natural. Like, you threw a good party. I've only been to one party you threw, but it was good.
You just have to get people drunk, and then it's easy.
And you just had a lot of food there and stuff.
Talking to drunk people is easy. I don't think I was sober at that party.
Get yourself drunk and them drunk.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that the one with the Chipotle?
Yeah.
Yeah, or maybe. Yeah. There was one where Peter was flying the room with the jet turbine strapped to it.
Well, you were there because I was there.
The one with Chipotle, yeah.
I guess I didn't ever see you there.
There was like a bracelet you had to scan to get in.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, right. Then I was not there.
No, dude, this is like the craziest party we ever threw. I think like even Jacksepticeye would just show up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you didn't? You needed a bracelet?
We made people sign liability waivers.
When was this?
That was the Christmas.
And there was like, was that the one I
didn't sign a liability waiver.
Yeah, I think so.
I broke your car. Maybe they trust.
That was the Christmas one.
Four models to the party too, and that was when I tried to invite Grant and Mahara to.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it was like, who's that?
He was a MythBuster, and he passed away recently. Oh, okay. A couple of years ago, but like I never thought that he would ever even respond to it.
He did though.
He did say he was too busy.
Yeah, I asked him, and
he was very, very
nice
in his response.
I invited a bunch of women because I thought it would impress them.
That's true.
Kind of worked.
People like. Do you know Party Shirt? Party Shirt, the TikToker?
Party Shirt.
Maybe y'all would like them because they try a different experiment. Like they'll take a viral TikTok and then try it out. But people sometimes say that they're like MythBusters. But they're not as science minded as y'all.
I think I've seen some of theirs.
They do
actually.
Factor Cap.
Yeah. Yes. I've seen those. Yeah. That's probably like the best sort of modern like day take on that.
True.
Because it's like I almost do wonder sometimes about sort of like, you know, what you would do to make the idea behind MythBusters, like the basic idea, work like today.
Nowadays, yeah.
Yeah.
Do y'all want people who are Gen Z to watch this show or listen? Do you have to think about that? Like, I have to talk about this topic more? Or do you just think like, they'll just like science and listen?
We just sort of talk about
taxes and editing software, and that really
kids like editing.
There's
software.
Like one guy who's like, I like it when you talk about that stuff.
You know, real estate.
Are you gonna edit that part out?
No,
you don't edit anything out.
We do
usually not unless you say something really bad, like, and that's when you bring back the old sound effect.
I'm not saying. You're going to bleep it anyway, though.
Wait, why is that so bad
to say? I just realized we can do that. We can make it sound like
a vile idea. Yes! Because okay. Like it's like a...
Whenever I said it, I didn't know what it meant.
Oh. No, but you never said it.
He did say it
at
the beginning.
Got bleeped.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Yeah, we never actually say it anymore.
Say it. Oh, yeah, we can just say as much as we want.
Yeah, no, I mean, you can say arbitrary things.
You get Alan noises instead. That's worse. What's something crazy that we could do right now?
Throw some of your poppets.
Ooh, yeah.
Throw some?
You want to just
throw them at the walls and everything. Yeah, go crazy.
Do not eat them, though.
No. Go shoot it at your neighbor's house.
Oh, it's gonna be loud.
You can just
it's not that loud.
You just snap them. It makes a mess.
Don't snap it.
Oh, that was,
I thought it was way louder.
Yeah, I thought it'd reverberate more.
Did any of y'all act?
Poorly.
I think I think everyone's capable.
I kind of like
Nigel's gonna cameo on Rick and Morty.
Whoa!
You guys are pushing that so hard.
Cool. Are you really?
No, they're just saying I am.
We're going to make it happen.
He's a fan of Nigel.
Really?
We're going to make it happen.
So Alan and Will are just
He's a fan of my friend also, Joel Haver.
Oh.
He's a good YouTuber.
The interpolated animation guy.
And Justin Roiland likes him a lot. He's in one of his videos. So maybe y'all should both be in a Rick and Morty episode.
Yeah.
I'm not the one suggesting.
I 100%. There's 100%. That they could so easily do so easy.
Maybe you should just make a Rick and Morty themed video soon.
Yes.
There you go.
Remake Szechuan Sauce.
Just even do a demo. Do a demo reel of some voices you can do.
I don't know, it's got to be something like worse. Like, yeah,
do you do voices?
Turning Szechuan Sauce into cum.
I could probably do some.
do like a funny voice.
There's always
no,
a way to
not
turn
now.
Into cum.
Okay.
What are you doing?
On my demo reel. I'll do it.
What?
I'm making a demo reel apparently now.
For who?
I was saying put together a demo reel.
Of your voice acting.
Yeah, my voice acting.
It pays well.
I think you just have to do
me.
Oh, are we talking for Rick and Morty?
Anything.
You just honestly, all they need is like, I think like
I just send them a link to my YouTube channel.
like a 10-second cameo where you're literally just somehow doing like there's a chemist in the universe who's like doing chemistry.
Some alien.
Yeah.
And I get shot.
Yeah.
And then Rick says he doesn't like it, makes him uncomfortable when there's people smarter than him in the room. And he kills you.
And they specifically call him Nile Red on the TV show.
Oh, no, cool. No. He like bleeds and it's red and it's
and
it forms
like
a little river.
Yeah.
And then it makes the logo really big on the planet. The Nile Red logo. Anyways, yeah, Justin, just DM Nigel and also Dex. Dex would be cool on Rick and Morty. Let's get everyone on Rick and Morty.
I don't think Alan and I would be good for Rick and Morty.
Maybe you'd do a scene real quick between the two of you where you tell Will that
my lips are so luscious.
No, that you have. It has to be serious. You could do a flirting one next, but like do something where you're like, I got some bad news. Like,
all right,
we got to put our dog down.
Okay.
Tell
and then
me.
Will, you don't know that yet, but y'all are roommates and y'all have a dog.
Oh, okay. I like this.
All right.
And then, but just like try your best to do good at it, and maybe you can take your hat off.
Yeah, it doesn't fit the role. It's no. Keep it on. I think it's good.
You go first.
Alan, your dog just died. Why are you laughing?
2 seconds.
So basically, like you're
that's
like
actually pretty real.
You already.
I feel like if Alan told me his dog died, he probably would.
You already said sit down, I need to talk to you about something, so now you are now it's, you say okay. The next thing and you could say what is it.
Yeah, you say action. And I know that you love Sparky very much.
Yeah.
But he didn't make it.
Make it where?
I was gonna say from out under the car.
That was good, but I feel like
I also have bad news.
Yeah,
we're out of ketchup.
You're actually almost crying. No, you literally you have tears.
I wanted to kill Sparky.
zoom in on the camera.
I know, that's why.
I can't believe someone took that from me. Someone else got the prize of my friend's cute little.
I'm so sorry.
I think he would be fired immediately.
He is crying. Look, he's in the role.
Yeah, no, it's...
Now, y'all two do the same scene.
Wait, who, us?
Yeah, Alan and Alan.
Oh,
and you.
Okay.
And then Will should do it with you.
I can't.
Okay, I'll be Sparky.
actually, say, like, you have big news that you got the audition, but he's going to be runner-up for it. So it's kind of like y'all both auditioned and y'all are pretending like you're both happy for each other because you both helped do the self-tape.
I think I don't. I've never done an audition, so I can't really put myself in that character.
That's like what you got to do, though.
That's called acting.
Yeah, but the dog dying is like unfair.
Okay, but have you ever related to missing out on an opportunity?
No, I've gotten every opportunity.
No. So that's what you have to do. You have to pretend.
Okay, let's just do a kissing scene.
Yeah. Screw this. Let's get to the real stuff.
Why are you moving away from me?
I'm not.
They're not paying you to stay.
I'm just not moving towards you.
So y'all helped each other do a self-tape audition, and y'all are both like, yeah, good luck, bro. And
right,
then
I'm going to act like I just got like the email.
Y'all both really want it. It's for a big animator, but we won't say Rick and Morty, but just
we're both like,
So say like, y'all are watching TV and then you really get a ding on your phone. Okay, action.
Sorry, I'm already laughing and I haven't
even
started.
Don't laugh, this is serious.
Okay, I have to be serious.
Okay, you're watching TV. Ding.
Thomas.
Sorry.
Thomas.
Sorry, I'm laughing so much at the TV show. It's so funny. Sorry, I have to just wait. The funny scene done yet.
Dude, start over.
I got it.
Start over. Yeah. Because
I swear to God, I think I know how Adult Swim made all their shows. Because that's exactly what I would imagine as a character saying, I can't talk right now because this very funny scene in this television show is going on.
Okay, so get into character.
Okay, we're going to watch TV.
That's the TV.
That's the TV.
So the camera.
I can't stare into the camera. The TV right now is a painting of
above
a peacock.
It.
Okay.
Oh, is that what that is?
It's a, yes.
Why
it's
is
a
it got
peacock?
A star on it? Because
it's like a cool peacock, like a metal peacock.
Say action so they stop.
Action.
a funny TV show.
Don't say that, though. Just be like, I love when that happens.
I love it when Rick says that on Rick and Morty.
Well, don't say that either. You don't have to explain it. Just be natural.
Just be natural, Alan. We're just hanging out.
Okay, start over. Action.
Okay, wait, can he be the one who gets the good news?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll be the salt. I'll make the salt fun news. Noise. Yeah.
All right.
And what am I supposed to do again? Start with the scenario?
You got the job that y'all both wanted.
Oh.
Action.
This is so unprofessional.
I love it when that happens.
Why are y'all? Okay.
I love it.
This is a disaster. You guys suck at this.
I couldn't do it. You were laughing the whole time.
Yeah, but at least I
this show is so funny. This is such a
okay, you get the message now.
Okay, I got the message.
Bloop, bloop.
Okay, Will.
Oh, no, I'm trying.
Okay.
My acting career depends on this.
Will's ready to step in if one of y'all blow it.
No, we're good. We got
it. No, it's good. It's good. It's good. It's good.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, go.
Blip, blip.
Okay, Alan's out.
Why are you laughing already?
I'm not
embarrassing.
You got the phone noise.
These people run YouTube channels with multi-million subscribers, and they can't even pretend
I'm doing it.
No, you're gonna do it with Will, and then watch
Will. Yeah, but Alan does it.
And then you can step into the next scene.
Okay.
So, ready.
Okay.
And Will, you're just watching. Y'all both want this role, and then he's gonna. You're gonna get the message. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Action.
Are we gonna make out or what?
maybe after, but first sight. There's something I have to tell you.
What? So the dog. The dog didn't die again, did it?
No.
Worse.
That dog's gone. Do you know that role that we like both worked really hard for?
For being Rick Sanchez on Rick and Morty, now that Justin Roiland retired.
I'm going to... I didn't hear that. I'm just, like, too wrapped up in this message. I'm just going to have to tell you how it goes.
You got the job?
I mean, in other words, yeah.
I didn't get the job?
That's the...
Oh, shit. Can we make out now?
I mean, if you're okay with
okay,
it.
Now let's
we'll
let...
switch that camera. I got the big hat.
I don't like this.
How was that?
That was bad, but you did.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Safety Third Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.